Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Welcome to the Dan Steep Podcast. I'm Dan Steep, and we haven't talked about Bible prophecy for a few episodes, so I want to get into it. What you need to know about the number 666. And we're going to read from Revelation chapter 13, and we'll read through verse 17. Revelation chapter 13. Actually, Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to read like verses 11 through 18. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast whose fatal flaw had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And may God bless the reading of his word. Now, there's great misunderstanding and false teaching concerning this number 666. Verse 17 of Revelation 13 says that the number representing his name is the number of a man, 666. People often try to identify some world leader and connect him to this what the Bible calls the mark of the beast of 666. And in my lifetime, and I'm just hitting on a few of them, but I remember people talking about Benito Mussolini, Mikhail Gorbachev, Adolf Hitler, J.F. Kennedy, Henry Kissinger, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Bill Gates, and the list goes on and on and on of people that are being identified with or connected somehow with this number 666. But I want to make this very clear. Any attempt to take Revelation 13, verse 18, and put 666 on a current world leader is scriptural malpractice. It's stretching. And I can't really do any better than to say that it's scriptural malpractice, because you just don't understand what the scriptures say. I want to take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 to illustrate this. The scripture says, "And you know what is holding him back." Holding who back? The Antichrist. "For he can be revealed only when his time comes." There it is. He can be revealed only when his time comes. Is that time now? No. It says, verse 7, this lawlessness is already at work secretly. So secretly, behind the scenes, unknown, this spirit of Antichrist. And it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. The New King James says, the one who is restraining is removed. Now, I've done episodes specifically on this to make it clear that the one who is restraining is actually the body of Christ, the church of the living God here on the earth. And when is the church moved out of the way? At the rapture of the church. So not until the rapture of the church, when the body of Christ is taken up out of the earth, will the Antichrist be revealed. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 make it very clear. Now, the Antichrist could currently exist, but it's in secret, not revealed as the Antichrist. But speculation is at best unprofitable on this point. So be very careful about all the misunderstanding, the false teaching concerning 666 and identifying with some world leader and connecting him to it. It's not the way that Bible prophecy unfolds. So what is the meaning of 666? Well, in order to understand the meaning of 666, which the scripture says in Revelation 13:18, that 666 is the mark, is the number of man. So we need to really look at number 7 first, which is the number for God. It stands for perfection, completion, wholeness. In the creation story, on the seventh day, God rested. And the number 7 is found 735 times in the Bible, 54 of which are found in this book of Revelation that we are reading and studying from in this episode. Now, the number 6, that's the number of man or carnality. It is obviously less than God. God created man on the sixth day. The Antichrist is going to openly claim to be God, but there'll be no mistaking his identity during the seven-year tribulation period. Now, the seven-year tribulation period follows upon the heels of the rapture of the church. There won't be any mistake about his identity. He'll be the only one claiming to be God. But if he were truly God, his number would be 777. But he's creation. He's not the creator. He falls short of the perfection and holiness. He falls short of deity. And the number 666 is a clear indication that he is not God, but a fallen man pretending to be God. And he's going to be allowed to deceive many with great deception. And people, the large masses of people are going to fall for it. They're going to either ignore the biblical precedent of the 666, or they're going to be biblically illiterate and not be aware of it at all. And they're going to be taken in by the deception that takes place. And the deception will be great. As we read here in Revelation chapter 13, it said he did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belong to this world. So that's verses 13 and 14 of Revelation 13. Now, this is an important point. Is the mark of the beast a literal mark? And the answer to that question is yes. It is a literal, visible mark of the number connected to this man. And verse 16 says, he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. Some translations say in, but it's an irresponsible translation. It might not even be a real translation, just a version or a paraphrase, because the word on in the Greek is the word epi, and that's the word that we get the word epidermal, so it's talking about your skin, the epidermis. So on comes from the Greek word epi, and the Greek word epi is what's used in the earliest manuscripts that we have in translating the Bible. So it means, the word epi means on or external. This is significant. The mark of the beast is not invisible. So a few years back, there was a lot of confusion, and there were people that were afraid that somehow if they took a certain shot that they were taking the mark of the beast. But that would be in and not on. It wouldn't be visible and external. And this mark will be a literal, visible, external mark of this number 666 connected to this man. The purpose of the mark, the purpose of this mark of 666 is really twofold. The twofold purpose is commerce and allegiance, or worship, if you will. Commerce and allegiance. The main reason that the mark is going to be taken is devotion to the Antichrist. And you see that in Revelation 13. The word worship is used in verse 12. And he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist. We see what we call the unholy trinity spoken of in Revelation 13. The dragon, the first beast, and the second beast, being the dragon being Satan, and then the first beast being the Antichrist, and the second beast being the false prophet. And he says in verse 15, anyone refusing the mark must die. Anyone refusing to worship it must die. More specifically. So the main reason of the mark is devotion to the Antichrist. Submit or die. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says those who refused this mark were beheaded. I should turn there and read that to you and not just reference it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, then I saw thrones and people sitting on them had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So it is a worldwide mandate will be put out and enforced by death. Now, I believe that the greatest revival the world is ever going to see is going to be in Revelation chapter 7. If you're born again, you won't be here to witness it in the flesh. But there's going to be a great revival. You see, no one will take the mark accidentally. Everyone is going to know who the Antichrist is. Everybody's going to know what that mark represents. It's going to be visible and clear, and people will make that choice based upon it. And so many people will not take the mark, and they're going to have to patiently endure persecution to the end. And you would ask, well, you know, why would people be able to resist the mark? I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, to say the least. But it's going to be very clear, and they're going to understand very clearly what is at stake in taking that mark. Now, when will the mark of 666 be revealed? It's going to be revealed halfway through the seven-year tribulation. Now, the seven-year tribulation falls on the heels of the rapture of the church. And it's going to be marked by this peace treaty that is entered into between the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. But halfway through the seven-year tribulation, that peace treaty is going to be broken. So that means that the mark of the beast does not yet exist. I'm not saying that the plans for it are not in the wings, in secret, that the technology hasn't been formulated or is in process, but it cannot happen until the beast himself is in power, and that cannot happen until the rapture of the church, where the restraining force on the earth, being the body of Christ, is removed out of the earth. So that what I want you to understand very clearly is that all believers living during the church age, which is now, it began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and it continues up until the rapture of the church. All believers living in the church age will never have an opportunity to receive the mark. That should be greatly encouraging if you're born again. And that should help you whenever foolish talk starts circulating about the mark of the beast being in existence and people taking it presently. But so let that knowledge encourage you and prepare you to run your race strong until either your life on earth is finished or you're raptured out of the earth. But don't be an escapist. Don't, you know, ball up in a corner and just wait for the rapture of the church. This knowledge should embolden you to be a strong and powerful witness for Christ, to run your race strong until the end, knowing, because it should embolden you to live holy and live for the Lord, because this earth is not your home. Your citizenship is in heaven. So don't be an escapist and just kind of wait around and gaze around like people have done recently with this whole eclipse. Like it's crazy the how people have tried to roll that into Bible prophecy. Don't be one of those people. Now, in Daniel 9:27, this is where in Daniel's vision of 70 weeks, he actually prophesies about the Antichrist signing this peace treaty with Israel, this seven-year peace treaty. It's spoken of in terms of days and weeks. This 7 years is prophesied as a week. And it says in verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, which is 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall, so halfway through the 7 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So he's going to stop sacrifice and offering in the temple in Jerusalem. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. And what he's talking about is what's being spoken of even here in Revelation chapter 13. He ordered the people to make a statue of the first beast who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. That's verse 14. And then he was permitted to give life to this statue that, so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. And actually, this statue of the beast is going to be erected in the temple. And that is what is going to be this abomination and this desolation of temple worship and sacrifice. And it goes on to say in verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And that is so the desolate is the Antichrist. And there's a point in which the final the consummation is going to be poured out upon him, his demise at the end of the 7-year tribulation. So in the 7-year tribulation, this is when the wrath and judgment of God is going to be poured out upon the earth, and that starts at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, but it is heavily intensified at the 3.5-year mark forward until the end of the 7 years. So the second half of this 7-year tribulation is going to be insanely intense in terms of persecution and tribulation. But it can't happen until the beast himself is in power. And Daniel 9:27 lets us know that the tribulation starts in peace, but ends in great persecution and conflict. And let me just say this right now. Technology is not the mark of the beast. Let me say it again. Technology is not the mark of the beast. So you can see technology moving in a direction that is really preparing for a one-world rule and a one-world government, but technology itself is not the mark of the beast. So will those who take the mark of 666 be eternally damned? Now, let's think about this. The beast will be easily identified by the number 666. And those saved during the tribulation, they're going to endure to the end because it's going to be obvious what is at stake. Where do they find the courage? Why will people willingly and gladly take the mark? So let me answer this question first. Where will they find the courage? Where will people find the courage, those who are saved, to endure to the end and not receive the mark of the beast? Because of this very thing. It's going to be clear. It's going to be obvious who the Antichrist is and what's at stake. And those that are born again during the tribulation, those that are saved during the tribulation, their eyes are going to be open. And they won't be under the deception that so much of the world is under. And I talked about that deception, and I mentioned it from Revelation chapter 13, but I want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. We've already read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, but let me read verse 9. The coming of the lawless one, which is the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And verse 10 says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not love the truth. So you see a contrast between those who take the mark and those who are saved and endure to the end. So why will people gladly take the mark? It's right here in verses 9 and 10 of 2 Thessalonians. Deception. I think that the Antichrist is going to parade around as the promised Messiah to the Jewish people. And that's why they're going to sign that peace treaty, because there's going to be war and conflict going on. A great threat to the nation of Israel, and they're going to see this Antichrist as the promised Messiah, as the solution to all of their evils, all of their ills. And that's why Israel is going to sign the peace treaty. And so how do we know what I'm talking about? Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, "Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It's been poured out full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise," here it is, "forever, forever and ever. And they'll have no relief day or night, for they've worshipped the beast and his statue and accepted the mark of his name." This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. Once the mark is taken, no redemption is possible. Once the mark is taken, no redemption is possible. Let me remind you again that the mark of the beast will not be revealed or taken until the halfway point of the 7-year tribulation period, which takes place after the rapture of the church. But once, for those who do, once that mark is taken, no redemption is possible. And for those who are saved during the Great Tribulation, they have to patiently endure the persecution to the end. That's Revelation 14:12. It says, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. Bible prophecy keeps us motivated to live holy and ready. Ready for the very certain but signless event of the rapture of the church. It's a signless event. No one will see it coming. Those who are taken and raptured out of the earth will be gone. And those who are left behind will not even be aware that it was happening. It's a signless event. Bible prophecy keeps us motivated to live holy and ready because no one knows when the rapture of the church will occur. But we do know that the rapture of the church is the next major event on God's prophetic calendar. And we see the signs of the second coming of Christ all around us. They're spoken of in Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21. We see the signs all around us. So if you see the signs of the second coming of Christ, and his second coming comes at the end of the 7-year tribulation, it's actually what puts an end to it. And if we see the signs of the second coming of Christ around us right now, how much sooner is the rapture of the church? It's at least 7 years sooner. So Bible prophecy keeps us motivated to live holy and ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you born again? Are you ready to meet Jesus in the sky when he comes for his church? You see, the word church in the Greek language is the word ekklesia, and it doesn't mean a building. It means an assembly of people. The church is, the ecclesia is the called out assembly of God. He's coming to rapture his church out of the earth. So if you're going to participate in the rapture, you must be a member of God's church. How do you do that? Well, God's church isn't something you can join. You can only be born into it. And I want to share with you a very simple formula to follow so that you can be born again. You have to recognize that you've sinned. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we have to humble ourselves and acknowledge our sinfulness. Your sin, you know, might not be rape and murder, but it's anger and it's gossip and it's slander and it's unforgiveness and it's bitterness in how you treat other people. Recognize, number one, that your sin is what's killing you. And it's not just killing you, it's killing the people around you. And the only way to peace is through faith in Jesus Christ. After you're willing to recognize your sin, now you can repent of your sin. That's number two, repent. The word repent simply means to change. Change your mind, change your direction, change your lifestyle. It is to turn from a life of sin and turn to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the cleansing of your unrighteousness, for the very salvation of your soul. And then all that's left is number three, which is receive. By faith, commit your heart to Him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I want to share a short, simple prayer of salvation with you. And if you'll repeat this prayer of salvation after me from a place of sincerity in your heart, you can be born into the church today and reserve your ticket for the rapture when Jesus comes very soon. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me from a place of sincerity in your heart. Let's pray that prayer right now. Just say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I recognize my sinfulness, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and He rose from the grave to purchase my salvation, to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness to You. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer together with me, welcome to the family of God. You're my newest brother or sister in Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you prayed that prayer together with me, you called upon the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's holy word and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that you're saved. You're born again. Your sins are forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. If you prayed that prayer together with me, please go to our website at revivalnow.com. Go to revivalnow.com, and you'll find a big red button on the front page of our website that says, I just got saved. Click that button. It'll give you the opportunity to view some video resources that I've prepared for you to help you get started in your Christian life. And if you fill out your contact information, we're going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life, and we're going to pray for you. So go to revivalnow.com, click I just got saved, and follow the prompts from there. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I trust that it's been a blessing to you, an encouragement, and a help. If you want to be a blessing to me, just share the broadcast. Share the podcast with your friends, with your family, and help us get the word out. And make sure you come back and check for new episodes as we're committed to sharing good, sound, biblical teaching on Bible prophecy and many other issues here on this podcast. So until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.